When NATO troops start to leave Afghanistan in 2014, the country will need more than a trained professional army. If it's to stand on its own, it'll need electricity. Billions of dollars have been spent on electrification projects over the last decade, yet only a third of the Afghan population, at best, has access to regular power. As NPR's Sean Carberry reports from Kabul, until the country can get the electricity flowing, stability and economic growth will also be in short supply.
The Juma Mohammad Mohammadi Industrial Park sits on the dusty outskirts of Kabul. There may be 8 to 10 different rundown-looking factories. One makes candies, another makes snack foods, and there's the Omid plastic-making factory. They make plastic bags for things like salt or toilet paper. Inside, three tall machines roll out bags, another prints labels, and three more cut the bags. It's a pretty small and fairly low-tech looking operation. Abdul Kadita Soza is the manager of the plant.
We have a lot of problems with electricity. There is no industrial power for us. We are using the same power as normal people.
The power often isn't enough to run their machines at peak efficiency, and the electricity shuts off several times a day, so they often have to resort to a generator.
We have a lot of material that needs a specific temperature, and when the electricity goes out, we have to throw out a lot of material, so we lose money.
He says that at best the factory is running at about 50% capacity, and that means 50% of possible revenue.
Most of our industrial park in the 7 major cities of Afghanistan, they're just receiving just the limited percentage of electricity.
Ghulam Farooq Kazizadeh is deputy minister for electricity. He says that industries are getting about 15% of the power they need, and he says some businesses spend three times as much for generator power.
Energy remains a huge constraint for the development of the country.
Claire Lockhart is a former UN advisor in Afghanistan. She says that when she first started working in Kabul in 2002, most meetings were conducted by candlelight.
There has been an enormous amount of investment, and there's been some progress, but the outcome is far less than the input.
She says that's in large part because the international community lacked a coherent development strategy for the last decade and initially relied on costly diesel generation. The security situation hasn't helped either, with Taliban attacks disrupting projects over the years. Lockhart says the country shows great potential in mining, small industry, and agricultural processing. That could fuel desperately needed job growth, but only if there's power. Currently, Afghanistan produces about 500 megawatts of electricity, less than a number of Caribbean islands. The country imports another 500 megawatts from neighboring countries, but that hardly meets demand. The country plans to import more power in the short run, but existing distribution lines can't handle the available supply from neighbors like Uzbekistan. Claire Lockhart believes it's critical for Afghanistan to reduce its reliance on power from its neighbors. She says Afghanistan is well suited to renewable technologies like small-scale hydroelectric dams, as well as wind and solar power. And, she says,
there have been very promising finds of gas in the north of the country, and if this can be tapped and turned into energy, this could really help solve Afghanistan's energy security problems going forward.
For people like Abdullah, that can't happen soon enough. He runs a welding shop in Kabul. He says the power is the best it's been in 25 years, but it's not consistent or powerful enough for his equipment, so he still relies on a generator. He says the generator is harmful to his staff and neighbors because of the exhaust fumes and the noise. Even though it's more expensive, he'd rather use city power, but it's just not reliable. Claire Lockhart says that even if the international community can develop a clear strategy going forward, people like Abdullah are still going to need their generators.
Even under the best estimates, in another decade's time, only 60% of the country will have coverage, and that's the best estimate.
Sean Carberry, NPR News, Kabul.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.